Palinville, on Woodstock and Manorville Roads in the hamlet of Palinville, regarding a request for a speed reduction, correct?
Yes, Mr. McKean.
And Mr. McKean is here.
Hi.
Hi, Mr. McKean, I'm Doreen Davis. Would you like to explain a little bit what your...
There's no speed limits posted on Woodstock Avenue in Palinville. What I understand is that without the posted speed limits, that legally they can drive 55 miles an hour. And there's quite a few times, especially this weekend, that that's been occurring. Now, you know, I have a little dog, and there's a lot of people that like to walk the streets, and they also like to ride their bicycle. It's very dangerous on Woodstock Avenue, especially where it goes all the way down to where it's adjacent to the Saugerties boundary line.
Right.
And they actually gain speed coming from Saugerties and traveling on Woodstock Avenue. And I am 173 at the corner bend right there. So it's a very bad blind spot, hidden driveway. Driveways are hidden. And there was plenty of times that I almost got T-boned at my driveway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very dangerous, and I've been meaning to do it for a few years now. And I finally got my neighbors together, and they're all for it.
Okay. So I think there are some steps in this process. You fulfilled the first, which was putting a petition together, so we thank you for that. And then my understanding, and Patrick, you can probably speak to this, is that our highway superintendent has to go out and assess it. So Mr. Beers isn't here tonight, but we will link Mr. Beers with you if that hasn't happened already. Let's see. Which goes first, Liz? So we should have Sean go out and take a look at this before we do anything,
and then
correct?
Make a determination.
Okay.
Then he'll board can pass the resolution, and then it goes to highway superintendent, who then notifies the Department of Transportation for the state, who then does their own investigation, who then sends a letter to the highway superintendent and CCs me that they believe it either should be a certain mile per hour or it doesn't warrant.
Okay. All right. So as of tonight, we'll reach into Sean and make sure that he's linked up to you. We've gotten another request from Bogart also, where we've got some people really speeding up.
Right.
And someone told me the other day we've got 16 B&Bs now in Palinville. And I think as a result of that, we got a lot more traffic than we may have had.
I think that Woodstock Avenue going into Matterville is also a cut through.
Agreed.
And also, I did look into Pine Avenue, Pennsylvania Avenue, Madeline. They're all 30. They all have 30.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
All have 30-mile posted signs on there. So.
I believe 30 mile an hour is the lowest legally that the town can post a road.
Okay.
And I think, 30, 25 personally, I think, would be perfect.
Well, and, you know, we've got even a problem on the other side coming in from 23A because it isn't squared off by the fire department.
Right.
People come tearing off 23A and they're going. So there's probably work to be done on both ends of that road. So we'll make sure that Sean reaches out to you and we'll start the process.
Thank you
very much. Okay. Thank you. Delaware Engineering. We are welcoming Mary Beth, a principal of Delaware Engineering, and she will update us on the Jefferson Sewer, and if there are any additional questions we have of her from the board, we should get them to her today.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
So, a couple of things. One crew has started out on 23B. That's kind of obvious. Restoration, I know, has been a big topic. So that's the, they go through, they dig a fairly big trench, they put that giant box, that metal box, which is a trench box down inside, that protects the workers in the trench from cadence. We've all heard recently there was a very tragic death from not using a trench box. So trench boxes are used for that purpose. They drag that trench box along as they go, they excavate ahead of it, and they put the pipe in behind it. The original plan was that all of the drive grades coordination with Central Hudson, their time frames can be longer than that to get their pipes in the ground. So what's going to happen in the short term, unless we can come up with a different scenario with Central Hudson, is that the restoration will be gravel. It'll be level, and it'll be maintained. And then Cross Driver will be gravel. Once Central Hudson installs their pipeline, then the area that's been disturbed will be repaved. The idea is, if we paved it now, Central Hudson's going to come back in, cut another trench through it, and your driveway is going to have multiple sections of asphalt rather than just having one continuous one. One's better. It doesn't break up as much during ice and freeze and thaw, and it's much better for you driving over it and not getting that ripple effect. So that's what's going on with restoration, and we do ask everyone's forbearance with that. I've driven through the site on a number of occasions and talked to our folks, and it's a very clean site. The contractor's doing a very good job of keeping all their stuff in one spot and keeping the site very clean. There is a second crew that started today on North Jefferson. So folks up there will be seeing activity happening up there. And that being the case, people who have grinder pumps who are in that area will be being contacted by our office regarding easements for those pumps. It's not a very large number of people in this area or in Jefferson Heights in general, but you will be contacted individually. You'll get a letter. It's just like when we went through easements before. There's a letter in the front. There's a drawing in the back that asks you to sketch on it any concerns you have or where where you'd like to see that utility, and then we'll be in touch with every single person to make sure we get it where it needs to go. So that will be happening. For folks on the other end who are wondering, we will be in Leeds next year. It's going to be a while. Be patient, but the contractors decided to start on this end. If you think about it, that makes a tremendous amount of sense. Start where you're connecting and work your way out. So Leeds is that next year kind of thing. And we do encourage people, if you have questions, if you are concerned, contact Town Hall. They know how to get in touch. Liz's office knows how to get in touch with us, knows how to get in touch with the right people who can answer questions. We try to be very, very expeditious. Particularly if we're standing at your house and something's happening, we try to get to you as soon as possible. We don't know about something until long after it's happened, or we don't know the specifics, we can't address it. So we really do encourage people, if you have a question, you're not certain about something, please reach out so that we can address your concern. And we want to make sure that we communicate as much as possible with everyone, recognizing that we have thousands of properties that are being affected. So please do let us know if you have questions or concerns. And I think the only other thing is we will be preparing a frequently asked questions sheet of some kind that will go out in water bills to people who are in the sewer district. So people in the town who are on the water system that currently are providing water for the village will be getting a frequently asked look. Probably try to cross-reference lists so we get everybody. Mm-hmm. Gets a notice in their mail, and those usually go out at the end of the month, so it's over early October.
Mm-hmm. So anything we learn between now and then, we'll add to that. I think Betsy asked for it by the 23rd,
right,
so that she has time to process. We'll go through the logistics with Liz and
exactly.
And Betsy.
Exactly. Do you guys have questions?
Any questions here? We had an original thought that the Central Hudson and the sewer project were working together. They are not, based on, I think, some inability to coordinate some things.
Yeah, and we're going to continue to dialogue with Central Hudson to see if we can get that a little bit more
closer.
Coordinated.
Mm-hmm.
For folks, it's probably pretty obvious, but we're a municipal entity installing a public sewer. They're a private utility, and they function like a private utility, and that's okay. But we're trying to coordinate as much as possible, really with the objective of reducing the amount of disturbance in neighborhoods as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
It is a positive thing that new gas lines are being installed, that the upgrades are occurring and the extension is occurring. We're just trying to make it so it's little disruption
mm-hmm.
as we can. It's a huge construction project. It's going to be disruptive.
Right.
We're trying to make it as straightforward.
So if there's anything that we can do as an entity to help you in a conversation with Central Hudson, we do have...
We'd like to try to set up another meeting with them.
Okay.
We've had... They haven't been maybe as formal as perhaps we need to kind of bring everybody together and get everybody on the same page. So
why don't we officially host a meeting with Central Hudson, and I'll invite you, and I'll invite Central Hudson, and we can have a conversation.
That's a good idea.
Okay? And we'll invite whoever.
We're trying to do it kind of in the, I know you were at the progress meeting, we're trying to do it kind of in the context of those meetings. That's not working out.
No, and there's one individual who I... You know, who we know is the person that we need to contact,
right.
And I think that's the person we should sit down with, and then we'll figure out what we can do to optimize it.
And it may not be possible for logistical reasons that we don't know for
mm-hmm.
them to
absolutely
align with our schedule, but it would be great to at least explore those things
mm-hmm.
so that when people are saying, why am I having two different construction crews go through my, you know, front yard, we can at least explain this reason why.
Right. And, you know, a thank you to you and, frankly, to Louise and everyone that's working, because I got a call the other day. Sign needed to go back up. It was a business. It was important for the sign to be there. Sign was back up in a matter of 3 hours. So, you know, I think the responsiveness is there. We know this is difficult for everyone, but we'll do our best, as I know you are.
And that's the thing, you know, if something's happening, if you go home from work and you see something, make a phone call so we know that you have an issue and we can address it. Find out about it, or it's kind of, you know, Susie told Johnny, told somebody else. That's really difficult for us to deal with. But if you call us and say, hey, at my property this happened, or I see this down the street, we can respond.
Okay. So anyone here that is interested in the sewer project that has a question?
Yeah.
Could you, and just identify yourself so that Mary Beth can...
I didn't talk to her on the phone. My name is Patty Durpain.
Hi, Patty.
I was here when George Polk came aboard. I used to push Jimmy Lacey and Stroll, and I teach. I'm on the 18th year of the Cats Women's School. So I'm from this town. My father built the first foot level of the community. I'm right across the street from what used to be our old hospital, my house, 162 Jefferson. And they said, well, we're going to start Leeds. And then they said, no, we're going to start here. Sandy, it goes down. It makes sense. And then about 3 days later, they were 2 houses down from mine, and they said, well, we'll be at your property in 2 weeks, and I'm along the split rail fence, and perennials that I dug, and said, well, anyone that knows me, I went to Morris for gardening, and they were there 3 days later, and I was like, hold on. All right, again, progress is a good thing. But right now, I'm looking at my shared driveway and my neighbors, so that driveway has been disturbed, and then I have a pad, a blacktop pad that I put where my property joins Lincare. That's half gone. My sidewalk is half gone. My lawn is half gone. And Otto Delmar has been wonderful. There was a gentleman named Otto who was running one of the pieces of equipment, and he was able to save two kind of special trees that I have out front. I didn't have to. Here's my concern. Delmar said to me, I wouldn't put any flowers back from you. And I'm like, why is that? And he said to me, Central Hudson is going to come through after we fix your driveways. And this is what I don't understand.
Right, and that's not going to happen.
It makes no sense.
Right, that's not going to happen now. We originally, this contract, I will tell you, this contract's original plan was to, they would start trenching, and we just kind of explained that they excavate, put the trench box in, the excavation precedes the trench box, which fills the pipe, and then they move along. Their original plan that they submitted to us was that within 2 weeks of the initiation of construction, they let that group get far enough ahead, they bring another group in, and they would restore and pave, and everything would be done. That is not usual. That is not normal by any stretch. Usually it stays open for the entire duration of construction. If it's 2 years, you have 2 years of no paving to deal with. So this was a very big thing. We were extremely excited to hear that they wanted to do this type of restoration, and they would follow it. So your disturbance period would be a couple of weeks. And that was the plan, and that's what you heard the other day. Until we went to coordinate more with Central Hudson and found out that they will not be following us very quickly thereafter. There'll be some kind of a delay. We don't know at this point how much. We're trying to nail that down and get it to be as short as possible. But it is not going to be, you know, restored and then dug up again. That's not going to happen. It's all going to be done and then restored completely and done. So that then you can go put your flowers and do those things.
But we're talking, you said 3 months, Central Hudson?
Not necessarily, no. We don't know. We don't know what they're...
And now you're going into November, December, and so there's the question of the lawn. And if you're going to plant now, I was going to wonder who's picking up the difference in my water bill, because it's going to have to be watered at night. And also, it's not going to grow. So what happens with our lawns?
So
things being placed where they should be.
So at the end of the contract, whenever is appropriate, restoration to what it was before is what's required. So if that means someone has to come back and reseed it 5 times, they can come back and reseed it 5 times until it stays. That's
so
part
it's
of
just
going to
stay mud and dirt?
Well, it's going to depend on timing, obviously, as you said. And we have had some very, very warm winters. So we should really don't, at this point, I would be guessing to say, oh, the 12 years worth of roots. I don't know. We're going to try to find that out as soon as we possibly can. That's where you said we need a more formal
meeting that you're going to, or a meeting you're going to try to arrange.
Yeah, and our instinct is to get this as close as possible together.
And
I'm sorry.
And that's what we've been trying to get on that.
We shared this, this side of Penn, and they took our whole
front yard. They ripped the tree out, and they put it in somebody else's yard.
They put it in the neighbor's yard when they put it back.
And it's crooked.
And there's no sidewalk or anything, of course, because to get out to the mailbox, which is very inconvenient.
I used to sit on the porch every night. I can't even sit on the porch every night. It's filthy. It's dirty.
And unfortunately, that is sort of when you have construction, that's one of the things that happens. But the idea is, as we said, to get these things as close as possible together so that your site can be restored and you won't have that anymore.
And just a few years ago, we had to have the front lawn all
done
because we had trees taken down and, of course, the logs and everything put down to turn it and wasn't able to do it.
So
and it was $700 to do that lawn.
Well, this is not your responsibility. This is included in the construction contract. So it will be restored. So if you had special plantings or something, you may want to do that because you may not want other random people putting in plantings.
Well, I know Travis. You know Travis?
Travis for me, yes.
He used to work, stories,
yes.
And Kenny is following him and Evan Gardner, and he came by and he said, because if you take this stuff out and try to move it and save it, you said it's not going to make it anyway.
That's right.
So, yeah, I talked to Travis a few times.
And you just want it to be restored properly, and as do we. Like we said, the original plan was that restoration would occur very rapidly. We're working with Central Hudson to try and make that happen as much as we possibly can. But we really do need to hear from them what their intention is. We don't want to do a restore. And people spend money and do things, and then 2 weeks later they look terrible again. So
So tomorrow I will reach in to the Central Hudson contact, and we'll get that meeting on the books ASAP. I think coming in new as I have in January, this has been on the books for 20 years. And at the end, it ended up being that we're under a consent decree to get this work done. So our responsibility is to make this as user-friendly as it can be, but recognizing that it's a big... When I saw the size of the equipment and I saw the piles of stone, it's huge. It's huge.
But why... I can't figure out why did they take the people's lawns?
Didn't they used to do it
along
the road?
Well, so out here on 23B, there are a lot of utilities. There are already gas lines, as you know. There are water lines. There are telephone poles. There are power poles. There are that location is where it is because it really can't be anywhere else. So we have sets of the plans around here somewhere, but it is literally a fairly narrow area where that sewer line can go through. So unfortunately, it disturbs some lawns. But they're going to end up being restored. And that's the best thing that we can do.
That's the reason why you had all these other guys up there buying all these lines.
Right. And actually, that's why if you see, and a couple weeks ago, I remember I was here and people were asking about, there were folks out in a truck doing markouts. That's Central Hudson out doing markouts. There are, underneath the ground that you can't see, it's a spaghetti of all of these utilities. And you can't conflict with them. So that sewer line location is the location where the excavation, you saw how big that excavator is. It can excavate without breaking a water line, breaking a gas line, disturbing a power line, you know, all of those other things. So that location was driven by avoiding all of these other utilities, really, and being within the right-of-way.
My property had it all. First of all, they couldn't find the gas line. They had to stop, and I know some of these people on Central Hudson, they could not find it. So it was 3 or 4 feet deeper than it should have been. Then there's a pole that had to be replaced, again, where my blacktop pad is, where my property line is in the wound care. So right now they put a new pole up. I think the old pole is still there. I don't know what's holding it up. And then I had company, and like one of them came out from the bathroom, and they said, "Do you have a towel?" And I'm like, "Yeah, why?" They forgot to tell me something was wrong with the water line. I had to replace certain things and corroded. And I knew that was a gas line, but I guess it shot the pressure shot the top of the lid of my toilet, and the water was coming up all over my bathroom floor. Nobody told me that they replaced the water line. Mine has it all. My little piece of land has experienced every single thing here. I just don't want to go into the winter with this. You're mentioning gravel. That would be better than the dirt we have right now. And, you know, I wear different shoes to get my mail because I refinish of old flooring in my home. And that's like sand. It tears it off.
It's something called crusher run.
Yeah.
And that's the material that's put there because if they use actual, I call it gravel because a lot of people aren't familiar with crusher run. But crusher run is a combination of rocks and sand. Because it doesn't settle. It doesn't settle. If you put gravel there, it settles. You constantly have a dip and you have to keep putting more gravel in it. So they use crusher run. One of the things that will happen is it will rain. That will tamp down some of the dust, obviously. It's just going to be, it's unfortunate, but there's no really good way of doing this.
So we basically have to live with it
for a short period of time.
Until Central Hudson.
And we are committed to communicating to you after we have that meeting. All right. So I know that Liz knows who you are. You know who Liz is. Let's get that meeting on the books. Let's find out what we hear back, and then we'll communicate to you. Right. Right. Okay. We will do that. We will do that. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. We appreciate that. We can't get better unless we know. Okay. All right. Anyone else with sewer questions? All right.
Thank you, Mary Beth.
Thanks, Mary Beth, very much. That concludes the portion of the meeting. I'd like to open it to public comment. For those of you that are new to this process, we have it in the first Tuesday of the month. We ask that you identify yourself, come up and talk to us, because there are folks at home who are listening. And we like to keep our comments to 2 minutes if we can. If you run over a little bit, we're good with that. So I will open this to public comment. Just raise your hand and we'll ask you to come forward. Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Jeffrey DeMont.
Yes.
My wife and I have been Catskill residents for almost 17 years. We're both very involved in the community. And we live just off of Parks Content Road, right opposite Notasia. We were away for the weekend at our daughter's wedding out in Washington State. We were going to return on Sunday. We sent an email because we had a change in flight, and our good friend who was house sitting said, "Bring your earplugs." We got in, a 14-hour trip because you have to change flights and so on, of course. Got into our house at about a quarter to 11 at night, and it was intolerable. You could not hear yourself think. We figured, well, maybe it's going to quit at 11, and then we thought, well, by golly, that'll be done by midnight. That'll be it. And then certainly 1 o'clock, and it was about 20 minutes to 2, nothing petered out. We spoke to our friend who had been house sitting. She said it started on Friday night at 7 o'clock. And this bears repeating, the windows were rattling on our house. The windows were rattling. If it worked, it went on until that morning, until 3 in the morning on Saturday. That's 8 hours of window rattling in our house with a frightened dog, a frightened cat. Our poor house sitter, who has closed everything up and doing everything she can to try and sleep, and she couldn't. She loves coming up to stay at our house because it's so peaceful. Mm-hmm.
We're actually
I have some issues. We would like to back up Mr. DeMont's statement about Miltasia's concert at the old game farm.
So let's let Mr. DeMont finish, and then we'll be entertaining comments from you guys.
I have a few questions.
Absolutely.
I understand that Mr. Animal met with this board on June 6th. I understand that he felt very well. I'm glad. I believe in bringing in business to the area, especially the business. My questions are this. Was there any due diligence done to find out about his previous show down in Georgia? Did you call the township down there and say, what does this guy do?
Mm-hmm.
What's his ilk?
Mm-hmm.
Was there any attempt made to speak to the locals, the people who are going to be most immediately affected by this show, was us, mm-hmm. the neighborhood. Was there any attempt made to open a comment period to explain what was going to happen? Were there any parameters put down to this permit in terms of volume of sound, duration of sound? Was anything done? Did you have our backs as the people who fought? In our case, 17 years have been paying our taxes, participating in the community. Did you have our backs?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so, because we got kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am determined that this will not happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And I am ready and willing to do whatever I need to do in a legal way to prevent that.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know what to do. I would love to hear it. Answers to my questions. Oh, final question. Do any of you live in that area?
Not that close. A mile or so down the road. Mm-hmm. Would you like to speak first and then we'll make some comments? Is that all right with you, Mr. DeMont, in terms of answering those questions? All right, just identify yourself.
I'm Chet Meyer. I'm Mr. DeMont's neighbor. It was just outrageously loud and it went on for hours and hours until 2 or 3 in the morning. That constant boom, 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 boom. Kiskatom must have been affected. Down Hearts Content Road, where we are, Round Top must have been affected. It's just, there are so many people, houses, hotels, as you said, bed and breakfast. The people were all, I'm sure, hearing this noise without wanting to hear this noise.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my other neighbors heard some very loud, violent, vile, vulgar. There was cursing. Who heard cursing from Abby? And they have young children. I mean,
we just had a baby as well, 5 weeks old. And my wife's already sleep deprived as it is. And the music was insane.
Okay.
I had air conditioning running, windows shut. I had to turn my TV up just to hear my TV. And I sat on my back porch, you could feel the bass coming off the map and echoing. I mean, I knew nothing about this at all until the last week, until you start hearing it. I got home 7 o'clock Friday night, 7:30, and this is what I had to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was loud, word for word. My wife had it on her phone when she recorded it. And you hear crickets, and then you hear boom, boom, boom. You hear people yelling, screaming, music loud. And it was just like, come on, mother effers. It was like, what a ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
If my son was any older than 2.5 years old and he woke up, I don't want him saying these words that they were saying, uh-huh. yelling and screaming. It went on for hours. It went on to like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
We do support the businesses. We love the little resorts that are around us. We're very good friends with the House of Cobb family that own the Mountain for House in Crystal Brook.
Uh-huh.
So we understand that they're trying to get people in. But that was just outrageous.
We have another neighbor, Emily and Don Brindle. They were actually emailing Giuliano. They were emailing you a letter. I have another neighbor, Alan Jane, that Ron Washington wrote to.
Uh-huh.
If we had to do something for a petition for it not to happen again,
uh-huh.
we're more than willing to do it. But that was a little insane. There's multiple neighbors, not just us, that are here.
Uh-huh.
There was other people that I stopped actually on the way home. Last night, the first day, everybody's back to work.
Yep.
Trying to just ask people on their way that I had conversations with and talked to them and stopped. They're like, yeah, I heard it till like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
I mean, but it was just, it was a little much. I mean, turn it up, do whatever you want to do until, say, 11 o'clock, and then be done.
Right.
I mean, your talking Taste of the Country, it was a multi-billion-dollar thing when they did all that. They had 50,000 to 75,000 people there. They were down at 1130.
Mm-hmm.
But then we sat down to people that had, what, 800, 900 people?
Mm-hmm.
And it went to 3 o'clock in the morning?
Right.
3:30 in the morning?
Right.
That's a little much.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 800 or 900 or was it 200?
The last number that I heard was around 700.
The wording that was the articles that you guys proposed, it said it was around 900 people.
It was capped at.
That's what they were looking for.
Yeah, it was capped.
I just want to know if next year is going to be 5,000.
No. Well, first of all, let me walk you through, and I'll. Anybody wants to weigh in a little bit on the process that we went through. You're absolutely right. Actually, it wasn't him. I believe it was one of his event planners, came and asked, and my timeline, I don't have my notes in front of me, but it was early. It was April, maybe. It was before Memorial Day. First thing that came to our attention is that we as a town don't have a mass gathering permit with the elements that Mr. DeMunn was posting in your comments in terms of specifics on decibels, how many people, what they do, what they don't do, who inspects it, all of that. Actually, as a result of them coming in, we're in the process of developing that and finalizing that. They came in with a full description of on-site health, on security, on building and breaking down, and they were coming to a business that was very focused on trying to get something going, that being the old game farm. Anything else I'm missing that we talked about during that time frame?
Did you check on their previous events?
We Googled.
Did you talk to anybody in the township?
We did not talk to anyone in the township. We did know that they were turned down in one other town. We did know that it was music that none of us of an age would have been interested in.
If it was Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band, yes, they're good.
Well,
but
not at 3 a.m. Even Bob isn't good at 3 a.m.
No,
all right? So I think... What I will tell you, and this is, and I need to say to other people, we exchanged a little bit of dialogue on this, and I'll give you my thoughts, and then I'll let others weigh in. As we were looking at economic development and the situation that this town is in, we were looking to encourage economic development, which I don't think anybody here disagrees with in terms of what we need. However, what is it that we want? It's a learning curve.
I'm still trying to figure out what kind of music it actually was.
To each their own, right? But not till 3, which I don't think we knew.
Right. Yeah, we should have.
So that one we take full responsibility for.
I called on town, and I called actually the sheriff's department. Response back to me was that the town lifted the sound ordinance specifically for this festival.
And our noise ordinance is 10 p.m.
So I feel like they took full advantage of it.
We did not say we're lifting it to 10, and we'll take responsibility
right.
for this.
We should have put a cap on it.
My husband spent a fair amount of time in production. You need to know where those speakers are facing. Taste of Country and Mountain Jam both, when you talk to production people that do that, and I'm not sure this would help with the music that you're describing, but they face those speakers towards the mountain and away from any kind of dwellings. And you also baffle, for those of us that have been in the biz, you baffle the stage, right, so that that doesn't happen. We didn't do any of that. I didn't do any. I'll say I won't throw you guys under the bus.
No, we'll all take responsibility for that.
But, you know, it's a work in progress. We tried to do it from an economic perspective. It wasn't going to be every weekend for the rest of our lives. They didn't buy the game farm and have this as a full-time endeavor. It was a holiday weekend, and we did hear from Emily. We got an email from an Emily, so I'm assuming that's the individual that you spoke about. I ran into Dave Wooden at Stories. Dave said maybe 11 or 12 might have been tolerable.
We actually thought it was actually his son. He plays once in a while, but I know he's...
Oh, no, that wasn't John.
And then my wife said the same thing.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, oh, he's fine. He plays until about 11 o'clock. Yeah,
right, but, right. No, that's not what this was. So we will have a mass gathering permit by the time anybody else comes to try and do this. To your point, Mr. DeMunn, I cannot imagine without significant changes that we would be comfortable doing this again. We knew we took a risk, frankly, so I'll take the hit for that in terms of all of us sitting here. We all said, you know what? We say no a lot. Let's try yes.
I emailed the owner of the game bar, and her response was that they just rented it to this company, and she has no say in anything. And I didn't respond back, but I really want to say it's kind of irresponsible on your behalf, since you're the property owner, to look out for your neighbors as we look out for you.
And I believe in order for us to close the circle of that dialogue, I will have a conversation with them, sharing with them what took place at this meeting this evening.
I think a lot of, even though it was a overall negative to the neighbors, we've learned a lot from this experience. I think moving down the road, if we ever do something like this again, we have to do a better job setting time limits. None of us on this board were under the understanding they were playing until 3 a.m. Yes, we did lift the noise ordinance for them, but we were, you know, a reasonable time should have been put in there as far as lifting the noise ordinance.
And also notification of the neighborhood and feedback, the dialogue about it changes everything.
Well, what's interesting about
a private
Our role is not enforcement, right? So that's a private business who rented it out to a private company. Perhaps before we lifted things and testing decibels,
yes,
that's where the input from the neighborhood would be important. I will tell you that there's a very similar kind of an initiative that's going to be at Blackthorn. Now, I don't know if it's the same kind of music. It was on a social media page.
Yeah.
I saw it the other night, and it said punk, and my knowledge about this probably died in 1973. So, I'm not exactly sure of the description of what they're doing there, and I don't want to in any way denigrate what they're doing. But everyone's trying this, and it's clear that there's a circuit of these types of bands that are going out. And as I read the article about the one that is there, I don't know if it was as undisciplined as this, because my understanding is this is more of a anything goes, which I think is unfortunately what you guys experienced. So what else can we do?
Notify, that's the main thing. Bring us in. Make us part of the process.
Okay.
Honestly, I didn't think being that far back in the game farm that it would have affected Arch Content Road.
You could hear
the windows.
No, I believe you. I'm just saying. And that's a part of our discussion, that it's in the middle of nowhere. It's not going to affect.
I think it was replacement of the speakers. Maybe if they redirected their speakers, the positioning, you hear a little music at a distance, that's whatever. You know what I mean? You hear stuff up there and around town once in a while, not a big deal. It was the position of how the speakers were, and just the profanity, just completely set me off.
Yeah. But if you're hearing profanity from where are you?
I'm
a
hundred percent
on
everything. Yeah. So. But I'm up pretty high.
Yeah.
And
but,
I cleared out 40 some trees to actually get a beautiful view that I have, and that's where all my sound comes right through my face.
So the first thing that we'll do, well, two things we'll do. I think we reach into the game farm and provide this feedback, and I'm sure you will as neighbors. You'll do the same. The other thing I think we got to do is do a postmortem with them, so that I understand and we all understand, because we had a good relationship with them in terms of they introduced their security people to us, they talked to us about, you know, the potential need for an ambulance, their plans for waste. You know, to your point, we thought as much as we could. But we've learned a valuable lesson, and I thank you for coming.
No matter how big the audience, if there was an audience of one, and everything was secure, it's still, we're talking about the decibels,
mm-hmm.
the length of time,
yes.
and the quality of life that was ruined for mm-hmm. us mm-hmm. in the idyllic place we want to live in.
Mm-hmm. Understood. And the balance between not taxing you to a point where you can't afford to live here and attracting economic development, because we are in a very, very challenging environment, which I think, frankly, in my thinking, led me a little bit to say we should try this. And then I went to Mike's Diner on Saturday, and there were four or five tables that were full from what I'm guessing, now I'm being judgmental, but I'm guessing were attendees there. I talked to Irene a little bit, and I asked her if some people had come to stories that maybe were coming from there. She said, yep, she thinks she had some. Not enough of a balance, though, to what you guys have said. So we get that. You know, I mean, I certainly do. And you know, there was somebody on the board that asked how loud it was going to be.
And I even checked, you know, the Game Farms website that she has set up, and from what it sounds like, they want to have a family campground, which I'm all for that.
Absolutely.
Right, and that was our whole point of doing this, to get some money to them to continue to do what they want to do there. Did we do it perfect? No. You know, this is our first time doing anything like this.
I just feel like that company totally took advantage of you.
I can think of a million other ways to raise money for that property and have something like that.
Yeah, and I think that this has been a valuable learning, unfortunately, on your ears and your family's ears and the other things that you've shared with us. But we won't know unless you came. So the thing we appreciate is that you came and you were very transparent in your feelings. And we hope you leave with the feeling that we listened and we'll take appropriate action.
Please take care of us.
Yes,
please. Thank you. If it happens again.
Yeah, I don't think... We'll get, actually what I will do is make sure that we get the appropriate feedback back to you so that you understand what the conversation was that we had. I'm over in Palinville. I guess I was just far enough away. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Any other comment from the public? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting. Motion for Mr. Giordiano, second.
Second.
Mr. Vosburgh, all in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. You're welcome. Thank you.
Square.